place that is less well off to really get you in the right frame of mind. And I hope that today, through our words and pictures, we can communicate some of that burden to you. And those of you who have visited, had the opportunity to visit other places in the world that are not as well off as we are, will understand better. But in order to be properly wrecked in your heart, you need to be in that place for a while. And I want to just start by, first of all, explaining that Claire isn't with us today because of the big wedding and everything they had yesterday, and the Jenses weren't able to be here this morning, and that was just kind of the mashup of schedules that happened. And we would have had Claire up here with us because she was a very important part of our trip. And I must say she worked very hard. Pretty little Claire was out there sweating and letting little babies pee on her, kids without diapers, and she just did it all and was very happy to do so and to be a part. And I want to, well, we both want to thank, Braden and I want to thank everyone who gave to help us go. It was difficult. We'd had part of our money raised, but with two of us from the same family going, we'd drawn on all our resources in our family, and we're getting a little dry, and your generosity not only allowed us to go, but allowed you to be a part of what we did and what Mission of Hope is doing in Haiti. So I want to just begin by introducing to you our team, and I'm going to start pressing buttons. This is Pastor Darren Stroud. He was our leader. He is the Kansas District Youth Director, and he leads all of our AIM trips. This, of course, is Braden and Claire, along with these two, we had 12 other teens and four leaders. Did I get that right? Anyway, yeah, okay. Mary, Haley, they're from Topeka, so is Austin. Brittany was from Perry, Austin's from Topeka. This guy back here is from Topeka. Darren and Marlene's kids here. Anyway, that's most of our team right there. It's a great group of teens. Got along in the worst kind of conditions, and we were quite proud of their performance. We'll just give you some of the funny little details about our trip before we get into the meat of the message of what I want to share, and you jump in whenever, else I will just talk incessantly with whatever you'd like to say. In fact, you should probably grab a mic.
All right.
Whenever you want to jump in, okay? This was typical when we drive through a town on our way to a work site. The rules of the road in Haiti are the largest vehicle has the right of way. I mean, I don't even know why there's paint on the roads. It was crazy. And this was just, you drive mostly with your horn, and nuts. And all the places I've been is craziest traffic. Although Darren said that in Bangladesh it was this times 10, just crazy.
We were in the road, we were going out to one of the villages to go do some work for them, and the school bus we're traveling in, goes down this like marketplace road. There are people everywhere, and then a semi type vehicle's coming the other way. We get stuck right next to each other in this road. Our driver and the semi are both laying on their horns for about, it was over.
Laying on the horns.
Yeah.
Laying
on. It was a good couple minutes.
Laying on the horns.
Of constant beep.
No, it wasn't beep. It was more like Armageddon.
People screaming.
On our way from the airport out to our destination that day, out of Port-au-Prince, immediately we begin to see the tent cities, the small, you know, anywhere that there was an open field or any open ground, they were full of ramshackle shelters, blue tarps, gray tarps. Some you'd find they'd find bits of tin. There were thousands and thousands of these, as Pastor Kent could attest to. And on the way out in the hills, there were these tents everywhere. This is a year and a half after the earthquake. It's a telltale sign of the kind of state that this country is in, that Haiti is in. In the United States, when disaster strikes, you know, we get on it, we rebuild, take care of things. They have no resources to do so. So thousands and thousands of people are living in tents still, which is part of what Mission of Hope is. One of the problems that they're tackling. This is the entrance to Mission of Hope. On our way in, we'll just give you maybe a little bit of history here. This is a view from the road of the 20-acre compound where we stayed. It was fenced in. We had armed guards that roamed around because this was really the nicest place that we were at, except for the beach resort the last day. This was the nicest place around. And Mission of Hope has been in existence since 1983, started with just a man and a woman, their heart being broken for Haiti back in 1972, and began very simply with a school that the government had said, we'll give you this land if you'll build a school. This was pre-earthquake. I mean, Haiti has been one of the poorest countries in the world for decades. And I'll just tell you a little bit about, first of all, where we stayed. This was our, I know that's very exciting for you. This is our two-story dormitory. It's been just completed in the last couple of years. No AC. We didn't, from the moment we stepped off the plane the first Saturday, we didn't feel air conditioning until we got back on the plane. Nothing, nowhere, anywhere, no AC, and the weather was just like it is here, almost exactly. So it was something else. The day we got back, and I'm sitting here, first day of EBX, and I was in the church, and I'm freezing to death. I mean, I put on another shirt. It was crazy, crazy cold. Mosquito netting. Very exciting. This is a simple Quonset structure that where we ate, where our kitchen was, some shower facilities. And every day they would truck several of these gigantic water trucks would go to the top of the hill, empty into a cistern, and that was our water, which we had to use very sparingly. We drank only bottled water. So you had to learn to keep your mouth shut in the shower, which is odd. You know, we're just so used to, whatever. You had to really pay attention to those things. And so I was told that fuel and water were the two greatest expenses, which I suppose they are here as well, if you think about it. But
and no hot water, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hot weather, cold showers. It was okay. The road we trekked down each day to VBS. This is the land surrounding. It was really a very beautiful country, small but very beautiful. Woke up every morning to the sea in front of us, the mountains behind. Beautiful country, desperate conditions, but really lovely to look at. And you can just see the ocean out there. This is the school that's at Mission of Hope. And this school actually, they have 2,500 students that attend this school. They have a very successful, in fact, 100% graduation rate. Their standards are very high. In fact, I roamed around in here one day and took pictures of the blackboards, and there was, it's all in French, but they were teaching about, I mean, there was some calculus going on one of the boards, which I didn't understand. And then there was talking about World War II, and this, you know, it's amazing in this nation, the things that, you know, this kind of education going on is really encouraging. When you understand that 90%, that the unemployment rate in Haiti is 90%, 80% of the population lives in abject poverty. That's huge numbers. You know, we're all distraught here in America, where, you know, our unemployment's 9%, and that is bad, but 90%, it's just overwhelming. They have a clinic on the grounds of Mission of Hope, sort of giving you an idea of all that Mission of Hope does. I'm going to try to bring it together here in a minute. But Mission of Hope has this hospital of hope. Everything is hope. It's School of Hope. It's Village of Hope. It's Mission of Hope and Hospital of Hope.
To give patients hope.
Hope. And it really, really does, because every day they see between 70 and 100 patients here in their clinic. This is simply the waiting room. The hospital, which we toured, which is almost finished, is going to be quite large. Mission of Hope has one of the only ambulances in the entire country. Was it the only ambulance? And what is really special about this hospital is they have a prosthetics lab which gives out for free and custom-fitted prosthetics for anyone who will come and needs an arm, a leg, okay? It's really a fantastic ministry that they are able to fund themselves. And they have a man there from Japan who is their prosthetician, and he creates these prosthetic limbs for people in need and able to give them. It's an amazing ministry. I'll talk a little bit about the orphanage and just, I'll do that now. Let's back up just a sec. There's an orphanage on the grounds of Mission of Hope, and right now they house approximately 60 children. And you need to understand that in the country of Haiti, there are the low estimate is 500,000 orphans. Some say that could be as high as 1,000,000 orphans. It's overwhelming. Mission of Hope currently houses 60 kids, as I said. They have, I'll show you pictures of it here in just a little bit, but they have their Village of Hope, and they have constructed buildings, and they have six of them. Each building has four rooms, and they become a house. Each house has a mommy that takes care of 4 to 6 children. They have a structured schedule every day. One of the nicest parts of that schedule is every morning they all march up to a pavilion behind the facility where we ate, and you could hear them singing. They get together before they have breakfast, and they'd sing a couple choruses. And it was so beautiful. I hadn't heard it all week, and then about Wednesday or Thursday, I heard them up there singing. And they were singing Agnus Dei, that hallelujah, hallelujah. It was so pretty. And they were singing in English, and it was just in the morning, and these praises rising up, these children's voices. And it brought a lot of joy to my heart at that point. And so these children, this is how Mission of Hope runs their orphanage. They give them a mommy who takes care of them and gives them love that they wouldn't have. They feed them, which otherwise they wouldn't have. And one of the interesting things about Mission of Hope's philosophy is sidewalks. They have poured sidewalks all over the grounds, and they only allow the children to walk on the sidewalks, thus teaching them about order and about respect, and that there can be a society that they can live and grow up in conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. When we were feeding children for VBS, when Braden was feeding children for VBS, the cooks remarked about these hundreds of children that we had there. It's the only time they've ever seen Haitian children in a line. That's sort of an important, it's kind of a telling description of kind of what goes on in Haiti and sort of the disorganization and the chaos that surrounds so many things that are going on there. And this is instilling in these children something bigger than themselves, something greater, something higher. And in the middle of all that, they're loving them with the love of Jesus, and they have chapel and they sing. And it's a powerful work they're doing. From where we were during the day, and then especially at night, you could see Port-au-Prince. And one night I was really overwhelmed by. Now this is zoomed in. This is my 200 millimeter lens all the way out. But these are the lights of Port-au-Prince down to our south, and just overwhelmed by how, you know, we all knew about Haiti before the earthquake, but then suddenly a year and a half ago, the world's focus was on this city and this nation. And I just, you would just sit and stare at that city down there, and you see the lights, you know, and it looks like any other city, but you know that underneath all of that is sadness and darkness and chaos that still reigns. And Haiti is predominantly, as far as their religion goes, it's voodoo. And that's a very dark, dark place spiritually. And while we were there in the services that we attended, and even during VBX when we would be singing, I just had a sense of light breaking through the darkness. And when the Haitians would worship in our church services and our Tuesday night service, I just had the sense of the Spirit of God just really breaking through, and these people who were celebrating their freedom and celebrating the light of Christ that had come to them, and felt great hope for Haiti. It was really, really overwhelming. Very cool. Of course, the greatest part of any missions trip is the kids. These were our alarm clocks. Haiti is, strangely enough, is on the same time zone as we are, but it should be a couple hours ahead.
So the sun rose at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No kidding.
And set at like 6.
Yeah, and the goats, they woke up with the sun. We kept hoping to see goat meat on the menu, but it never happened.
Or the rooster.
He wasn't so bad. Yeah, now I am going to talk to you about kids a little bit. When we arrived, our first day there, it wasn't too long later that afternoon, we had a downpour, and we wandered up to this covered pavilion and started playing soccer with the kids and some of the orphans that were there. And man, it was almost flooded in there. Still, we played, and we sat with the kids. It was our first introduction to them, and all of our group just gravitated towards these little ones, and we're going to try to really make Jenna just as sick as possible and talk about how all these lovely little kids that we got to spend time with, and they couldn't speak a word of English, and none of us spoke this French Creole, which if you know French, you don't know French Creole. Wow, that's crazy. Anybody know French out there? Studied French? I just want to have some commonality with somebody. Anyway, it's crazy. It's nothing. You'd think, oh, I could probably pick up on that. Nope. Let's see, our group would be the white people. Claire and Haley there. Is that Josie behind? Oh, no, that's one of the other ladies. I could turn around. Always a kid in your lap. We had VBX, or VBS. It was VBS for them. We conducted VBS. This is a little bit about what we did each day. We did VBS each day, and there were upwards of 500 kids there, not the 240, 50 like we had here, twice as many. It's hot out, but we had them for about 4 hours every morning, and we had different stations. Four groups would move around to different places where in the church we would be telling them, sharing with them a Bible story. In another area, they'd have their recreation. In another area, outside, they would be teaching them basic hygiene, which was very important. They taught them about germs and hand washing. They used glitter to demonstrate how germs spread. And that day, every kid was covered in glitter. It was all over the place. It was a great illustration. Every child went home with a bar of soap. One of the other days, you saw some of those pictures on the slideshow. They taught them how to brush their teeth. And I think I've got a picture here. I'm going to get all out of order, but I want to show you a picture of these boys who found the joy of toothpaste that they were told not to eat. But if I ever get there, you'll see these little boys sucking on these little tubes of toothpaste. Meanwhile, you're seeing all these beautiful pictures. Now, there's some germs. You see the germs on her face. She's got the glitter in her bar of soap. And here's a boy learning to brush his teeth. That was Claire. Claire taught this boy to brush his teeth. And here's a little boy sitting by a bush sucking on toothpaste. Because we all know it tastes good. It was wonderful. Yeah, I know. I got to get back through there. I just get all out of order. It's okay. Beautiful, beautiful children. And I must say that one of my observations is, as you look into their eyes, you know, many of them were, they were happy. They were kids. But like no other place I've ever been, you could see in them still a sadness that lingered there. And like nothing I've ever seen. And they needed this so badly. And all you could do was just love on these kids and know that you were a part of what Mission of Hope is doing, which I firmly believe they are gaining ground. They are moving forward and making a difference, primarily in the lives of children. They are the future of this country, of Haiti. And I was just really, really moved by them. This is Braden lofting a tray full of rice at the end of every VBS. Every morning, these 500 kids would be shuffled through this area, and they would be fed before they were released and sent home. You want to comment on that craziness?
We had about 10 American workers and then the Haitian kitchen staff. And it took all of the energy all of us had to feed 500 plus kids one meal. It was crazy. We had just these two small tin, you know, those buildings through the grate there. They weren't big at all, nowhere close to the size of the sanctuary at all. And we had to fit all these kids in there and feed them and do dishes, all that craziness all at the same time. I was surprised we did it. And some of the interns that worked there that stay for longer periods of time, they still have no idea how we do it. It's kind of funny. But for some of these kids, this meal that we give them at this VBS is their only meal for the day. You know, a lot of them have this orange-colored hair, you know, when it's supposed to be black, but from malnutrition and lack of, you know, anything in their stomach, their hair will turn orange. So it really kind of hurt my heart a little bit, you know, because we don't really worry about where our next meal is going to come from here. But these kids,
although my children complain.
Yeah, I know. All these kids who you can see the physical effects of them not being able to eat to what their body needs to grow. It's really amazing. That's what it is.
And we have no idea. We have no idea what it's like. I need to be moving along. What we did in our afternoons was we visited either one of two sites that Mission of Hope owns. This one is called Bercy. It's down by the sea, and it's several acres where they will be teaching Haitians. They'll be building a community there, teaching agriculture. And our job this day was to grab a machete and hack at thorn bushes, which we did furiously for an hour and a half or so, and just got completely soaked and cut up, and it was wonderful work. It really was. I enjoyed it anyway. One of the other days was painting. We would paint homes, and this is great. This is foreigner little kids distracting Braden. I mean, and they would grab rollers, and they would go, and you know when you do that too fast, you get. So we had lots of polka dot kids. It's fantastic. There's Claire painting. And so we helped out in that way. This site here is the one that I really want to talk about. This is called Levesque. And what Mission of Hope is doing here is a project called MOH 500. And what they're doing, their goal is to build 500 homes. You see them here. This is an example. And what you also see, I'm going to move outward from here, are these hedges. These are 60 by 90 foot lots with a 16 by 19 foot home. They will be moving families in. In fact, as of tomorrow, which is August 1st, 137 families will be moving into Levesque. And it's set up like a neighborhood. These cactus-like plants will grow 8, 10 feet tall, provide barriers, and provide orderly, clean, substantial homes, eventually for 500 Haitian families. They're building out in here. There's some here that aren't even painted yet. They'll move out this direction as well. These blue structures were built by Samaritan's Purse. They are temporary, although some will probably continue to live in them. This is an incredible project because of what it provides for Haitians. The way they decide who lives there is through some process. The interns couldn't describe, they didn't know all the details. It's through the government. But families are going to get these homes almost for free. I'll read the details here. They'll be required to pay a marginal monthly community fee, which is $50 Haitian money, $6 U.S., for a period of 5 years. The fees will create a vested interest by the families throughout the process. You see, so they're paying for what they have. They're learning responsibility, learning the value of things. After 5 years, each family will receive a deed for their home, and they'll have 100% ownership. It's a great program. Each one of these homes and lots costs $5,500 U.S. money to build. On each lot, they will have citrus trees, almond trees, and some other plants that will provide food. Add extra food to their diet. I can't think of the word right now. Anyway, supplement. That's it. Supplement. I can even spell it. I just can't think of it. This was a great. Oh, I just turned it off. That's because I'm cool like that. Okay, there we go. That's what that button does. So that was a great project. While we were there, it was our final work day, and these kids had scratched out a little area to play soccer in and had used some white paint or something to mark some crude lines, kicking around this beat-up old soccer ball, about that big, playing soccer. Here is the cutest child on the planet I found there, and I couldn't get her in my backpack, Jenna, I'm sorry. Adorable. So that's that. This is not a postcard. That's actually a place we spent our final day at the beach, Wahoo Bay. I've never seen water that clear. And the only reason I show you this is just to say, again, Haiti is such a beautiful place. And if we can continue to help the people, they have so much potential there as far as agriculture, tourism. It's a wonderful place. Again, the eyes. I'm wrapping this up. I just want to say a couple things in regard to the people, our time there. This is my favorite photograph from the trip. You look into his eyes, and this child who has deep, deep eyes, sadness there. He probably doesn't even understand why, but it's on their faces. It's on their faces because Haiti is spiritually dark, but there's a light breaking through because of what malnourishment does to them, because of what this extreme abject poverty does to them. Paul told Timothy that true religion is to help widows and orphans and to care for the poor. There it is. And we went there and we worked with Mission of Hope. We did our part. And this was, for me, the most important trip that I've ever been on. And all the places we've gone and AIM trips and stuff, this is the most important one for me personally. I really felt like I was helping in just a small, tiny little cog in this whole machine that is moving forward and spreading the light of Jesus in Haiti. Fantastic. Grow Hope in Haiti. That's what they are doing there. Proverbs also says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. I'm not getting ready to take an offering. Kind of sounds like that, but I'm not. I just want to tell you that if you want to see more pictures of our trip, because of the constraints of time, I had 650 pictures. I only showed you about 50. You can check my Facebook. I've got two separate albums on there with 400 pictures of Haiti. I would also recommend to you worldvision.com. You can get on World Vision and you can give goats, you can give ducks, You can give soccer balls. It's a cool way to donate and to help kids. I mean, those kids were kicking around some raggedy ball. It wasn't even inflated. It was just a, you know. But to bring, that was the source of joy. Whenever you went somewhere and these kids have nothing, barely have clothes on, like little naked man. And, but they would play soccer, and I've got a photo of one kid with a huge grin on his face getting ready to throw that soccer ball into play, and that brought them so much joy. You can get online, and like for $16, you can donate 2 soccer balls, and it's just a neat way to be able to help out. Also, Mission of Hope's website is mohhaiti.org. If you check that out, there are lots of ways there to help them out specifically in their mission. They work with the Convoy of Hope, which is an Assemblies of God organization, and they are feeding Mission of Hope along with Convoy of Hope. They're feeding 50,000 meals a day in Haiti, doing a great work. So we were all a part of it, and because of your generosity and sending us and Claire, we were able to see that and catch a sense of their vision and maybe be able to help out even more. That would be our prayer. So that's all we have this morning. And do you have anything else you want to throw in there? We are going to, pastor's going to come. We're going to move into a time of communion and remembrance of Christ and what he's done for us. And in fact, what he's done for all those, these that we've seen today, and just celebrate his goodness.
And people of faith believe that's possible. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? People of faith don't say, that's a hopeless situation. Nothing can happen there. People of faith, something in them says, Jesus is big enough to do what needs to be done in that circumstance if we'll give ourselves to him. Because people of faith are sensible enough to know what Jesus has done in their own life. I want to celebrate that for a few minutes this morning around the table of the Lord. I want the musicians to come back and prepare to help us with music. There's an old hymn that most of you perhaps know. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Now, that language and those words may not resonate with 21st century vocabulary, but what a great declaration, if you can get your heart around this language, what a great declaration of the gift of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners, we don't use those kinds of words a lot anymore, but guess what? That's who we are, right? Apart from Jesus Christ, sinners plunged beneath that flood, what? This is a wonderful phrase, lose all their guilty stains. And I want to sing this hymn and prepare ourselves for communion. I'd like the brethren to come and prepare to serve the communion elements. They will serve you as we sing together. Let me just give you a little word of explanation here. If you're not a part of our congregation, haven't been here before perhaps or whatever, if you know Jesus Christ, you are welcome and encouraged even to celebrate communion with us. We don't think that communion is about church membership. We think that communion is Christ's invitation to his body to remember and to rehearse what he has done for us and for us to renew our own sense of covenant with him. And so if you know Jesus, by all means, participate with us. If you're here this morning and this is all strange and new to you, I tell you that Jesus died for you, that Jesus died so that you could have a restored relationship with him and walk in fellowship with him. And if you don't have to wait for some other day or some other service or some other setting or context to offer a prayer of faith from your heart, God, what you're offering, I want. Come into my heart, wash my sins away, live in me and give me life eternal. You say that to Christ in your own words. You express that to him. He will come in. Revelation says he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. He's just looking for that opportunity to fellowship with you, to live in you, to give you life. And you don't have to wait for another day. You don't have to wait for a chance to walk an aisle or shake a preacher's hand. You can do that right where you sit. And if you'll offer a genuine prayer to Christ like that this morning, then you're encouraged to celebrate with us as the communion elements are distributed. If you'd hold the elements once you've received them, and then we'll read scripture and all partake together as members together of one body, we'd appreciate that time together. Scott, if you'll go ahead and church, just join me in singing this if you'd like to, just in preparation for time around the table of the Lord. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. May I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. For since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I sing that verse again. For since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeemed. love has been my theme and shall be till... Come on, one more time. And shall be. Oh, and shall be till I die. Shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Hallelujah. 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 Are you grateful for the redemption of Jesus Christ our Lord? Hallelujah. Paul writes about these moments in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's really in the middle of challenging the church to recognize who they are together as the body of Christ. And he has a rebuke for them that they eat and drink without recognizing the body of the Lord. And he says that's a problem. It's my paraphrase, not his exact words. And then he goes on to express this remarkable gift that Jesus Christ gave us when he took what was the Passover meal that the Israelites used to celebrate their deliverance from Egypt and transforms it into a meal that celebrates the whole world's deliverance through Jesus Christ, everyone who will place their faith in him. One of the things that does is ties us all together. You know what I'm saying? We've been talking about this in recent weeks. One of the things that does is creates a new community that live under the reign of Jesus Christ. Part of what we're celebrating today is what he's doing all around the world and how that invitation extends far and wide. And ties us into all those who have put their trust in him. All those precious kids who are learning to love Jesus that you saw in pictures this morning, they're part of this kingdom. All those missionaries that you give to month after month and this church fellowships with and supports and has in to conduct service and tells us, you know, what God's doing here, there, and the other place, all over the world. There's a connection there. And when Jesus, this morning, Jesus really himself says, you know, this is my body, which is for you. This is my blood. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, and extends himself to us. We're tied into that whole wonderful kingdom that God is advancing throughout the earth. Let's not be guilty this morning of minimizing these moments. This is really what Paul's challenge is, of making them less than they are, of making it act like, you know, it's all about me. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm saved. I'm grateful I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And all over this globe and all throughout the years of history since your life, death, and resurrection, you have been claiming a people as your own, and we get to be a part of that. Hallelujah. What I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, and we'll pray in just a moment before we partake together. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, in these moments, through Jesus Christ, we thank you for life everlasting. Savior, we thank you that you offered yourself freely, that you did take on flesh, that you did become obedient, that you did humble yourself, even unto death, even death on a cross. And we celebrate the reality that therefore God has highly exalted you and given you a name that is above every name. We celebrate the reality that you are claiming for yourself people from every nation and tribe and language and tongue. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us, God, one body, under Christ. You have broken down the dividing wall that separates us, and through your body and through your blood, you are building a kingdom that will stand forever, a kingdom that will not only stand the test of time, but endure throughout all eternity. You've made us a part of it. You've made us a part of this joyous collection of people who are more, oh God, than we can imagine. Thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in the nation of Haiti. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in the other places where we support those who serve your purpose around the world. Thank you for what you're doing right here in Northeast Kansas. What you're stirring in our hearts and how you're shaping us as a people to fulfill your purpose. Thank you for 266 youngsters who experienced the love of Christ this week. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you that it all, God, got accomplished that day when you offered yourself for us. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood. We remember what you did for us. We celebrate who we are in you today, and we anticipate all that eternity holds together, even as we partake today. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we eat of the bread together? In the same way, Paul says, after supper, he, Jesus, took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And I don't always do this, but let me go ahead and read this next sentence. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup," Paul says, "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's partake of the cup together, proclaiming the Lord's death and his return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's honor his presence for a few moments. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your broken body and your poured out blood. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to proclaim your atoning death and your promised return. Thank you that the grave had no hold on you, but on the third day you arose to live and rule and reign forevermore. And thank you that that promise is ours, that because you live, we too shall live. Thank you, God, that you have brought us into something that is bigger than ourselves, bigger than our days, bigger than our skills or gifts or ability, and you are redeeming throughout the earth a people for yourself of which we are a part. We bless you that you've made us your own. We bless you that you've made us your own, and we long to serve you and your purpose with all our days, with all our days. Now, would you sing just one other song of commitment and expression with me? Just that the Lord, that we would be completely his, nothing held back, and we'll let this be a benediction this morning. Come on. Lead us, Pastor Blaine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. Lean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Creation that sings. Face, O God of Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God. Give us clean hands. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Hallelujah. That is our heart's cry, Lord, that you would use us in this day, in these moments, in this age, for your purpose and your glory. And all God's people together said, amen. God bless you. Go in the grace and knowledge.